So let's open our Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. In this chapter, we have the story of Naaman, the Syrian military general, who was cured of his leprosy through the ministry of Elisha the prophet. And in the verses before us today, we see how God used a faithful teenage girl to accomplish his purposes. Let's read 2 Kings 5, 1 through 7. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel." So the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, "Now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman my servant to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy." And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter, that he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me." All right, once again, some background notes that'll help us understand what God is teaching us through this story of Naaman and his healing from leprosy. In verse 1, we read that Naaman was the commander of the army of the king of Aram, or Syria. This is the 9th century BC, and Syria was the country north of Israel, as it is today. In fact, Damascus was the capital of Syria then. Damascus is the capital of Syria today. Naaman, as you can see, was the field marshal or general over the whole Syrian army. Quite a prestigious position. He was not only a great military man, but a man of honor and well-liked by his commander-in-chief, namely the king of Syria. But Naaman had a problem. He had leprosy. His leprosy was probably in the early stages where it could be covered up, but it would only be a matter of time before Naaman would have to step down from his position as commander of the army, and ultimately he would die if nothing was done about his leprosy. Here in verse 2, we read that the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. This young girl is maybe a preteen, but probably a teenager. Well, so much for our background notes. Let's move to our doctrinal or teaching points from this portion of 2 Kings chapter 5. Doctrinal point number one: God's plans are accomplished in mundane ways. God's plans are accomplished in mundane ways. Now, what do we mean by the word mundane? Well, it means earthly or common or everyday or routine, or you could even use it for boring at times. Mundane. God's plans are accomplished in mundane ways. In other words, if you were to look at certain events that are happening in the world around you right now, you might say that, well, there's no way God is accomplishing his plans through these events. They're too earthly. They're just commonplace, routine, mundane. But God's plans are accomplished in mundane ways. And we see that here. We know that God was accomplishing his plans in the life and healing of Naaman here because of what we read in Luke chapter 4 and verse 27. In Luke chapter 4, we have a sermon that the Lord Jesus gave in the synagogue of Nazareth. And he said, in reference to Elisha's ministry and the healing of Naaman, the leper, And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. The Lord's point in this sermon was that the grace of God was purposely going beyond the borders of Israel to the Gentiles when Naaman the Syrian was healed. The point we're making now is there's no doubt that God's plans were being accomplished in this case of the healing of Naaman the Syrian, the Gentile, from his condition of leprosy. But notice the mundane ways in which God accomplished these plans. The Syrian army, you know, sends out these raiding parties. They capture some Israelis. A young girl is taken as a captive. She just happens to end up as a servant in Naaman's house. Who would have ever thought that God was accomplishing his purposes and plans through this? And yet he was. And God does the same thing today. God's plans are accomplished in mundane ways. Doctrinal point number two. God's plans are accomplished through ordinary people. God's plans are accomplished through ordinary people. You know, this event that we just read about had international consequences. The testimony of the God of Israel was making its way into the ranks of the Syrian army, right from the top down. And yet God was using an unnamed teenage girl or preteen girl, young girl, as a major link in the chain of events. The testimony of one faithful teenage girl is affecting a nation. God's plans are accomplished through ordinary people. If it wasn't for the faithful testimony of this Jewish girl, the great prophet Elisha would not have had the opportunity to minister to Naaman, the general of the Syrian army. Look around you. Everybody look around you right now. Do you see any superheroes in this room? And yet God is accomplishing his plans through you. How many of you believe that God has plans for this ministry? Well, how is he accomplishing those plans? Through you. And you never know. You never know how important your testimony this summer may be, whether you're doing counseling or just doing your mundane job. You know, it could affect some kid who might be greatly used in the ministry someday, greatly used of God someday. Most of the Billy Grahams that God uses, they did go to Sunday school, they did go to summer camps, and they did have teachers and counselors. God's plans are accomplished through ordinary people. Let me read another scripture here. 1 Corinthians 1:26. Here's what God says about how he accomplishes his plans. 1 Corinthians 1:26. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, and not many mighty, not many noble are called. Read the rest of that passage. 1 Corinthians 1:26. Very definitely, God's plans are accomplished through ordinary people. Now, how about some practical application from these seven verses? Or shall we say more practical application? First practical application. Let's be faithful even though tragedy happens to us. Let's be faithful even though tragedy may happen to us. Humanly speaking, what happened to this teenage girl was a tragedy. She was kidnapped. She may have seen her parents killed before her very eyes. She may have been abused before ending up in Naaman's house. She's made a slave, but she remains faithful to the Lord. Kind of reminds us of Joseph, right, down in Egypt. In spite of the, humanly speaking, we would say a tragedy happened, yet he remains faithful. This little girl, this preteen or teenage girl, even witnesses to the enemy. Remember the Lord said, Matthew 5:44, love your enemies? She certainly demonstrates that. Now, a number of you here today are teenage women. Suppose God allowed this to happen to you, what happened to this teenage girl. Would you remain faithful? Suppose God permitted any one of us, even this summer, to be in a bad car accident through no fault of our own. And we were to end up paralyzed for life. And we couldn't understand why God allowed this to happen. Would we still be faithful? Or would we back off and say, I can't understand why God let this happen. I'm not going to be faithful anymore. He doesn't tell me why. This is a raw deal. I got the short end of the stick. Or would we be faithful? Let's be faithful even though tragedy may happen to us. Practical application number two. Let's be faithful even though we may be misunderstood. Let's be faithful even though we may be misunderstood. The young girl here in this story, the unnamed young teenage girl or preteen, she was faithful, but she was misunderstood. You say misunderstood. How was she misunderstood? Naaman got cured of his leprosy. That's true. But look at all the misunderstanding along the way. Verse 4. Naaman, when he goes to the king and tells him the story, apparently Naaman presents a garbled message. Naaman went in and told his master, saying, thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel. Verse 4. Well, what did Naaman say? He must have presented a garbled message, or at least the king got garbled communication in some way, misunderstands, because this king, Ben-Hadad, he thinks you got to buy the healing. He sends money down to the king of Israel. Look how much he sends. 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold. That's 750 pounds of silver, 150 pounds of gold. A lot of money. Why do you think he had to buy healing? Is that what the girl communicated? No. She had a faithful testimony. But she's misunderstood in some way. And a letter comes down. Now be advised, when this letter comes to you, this is a letter from Ben-Hadad to Jehoram, king of Israel. I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy. And now when the king of Israel, Jehoram, gets this letter, well, he can't understand it. He's up for grabs at this point. He tears his clothes, a sign of great distress, and he says, you know, who am I? Am I God to kill and make alive that I have to cure this man of leprosy? What's going on here? He thinks Ben-Hadad, as you see here in verse 7, is using this as an excuse to come down and attack the northern king of Israel. Misunderstanding all the way before Naaman is cured. It's not the teenage girl's fault at all. She's been a faithful witness. But it's been garbled all the way through. Been a lot of misunderstanding. Well, we too will be misunderstood when it comes to trying to be faithful. You be faithful at your school, in your neighborhood, where you work, and you might see the Lord answers some great prayers. People become Christians, but you might see a lot of misunderstanding as well. Well, let's be faithful even though we may be misunderstood. I remember working with a guy who I thought had become a Christian. I worked with this guy over a year, but somehow he misunderstood and never really did become a Christian, and through some other connections ended up in a cult. It happens to all of us. You can be sure, you know, there's going to be misunderstanding along the way. So let's be faithful, even though we may be misunderstood.